What's up, man?
What's up, man?
How are you?
Fucking tired. Long ass week, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Long week. I don't know. You think it's because of the daylight savings?
Maybe. No, but wasn't that a while ago?
Yeah, I know, but the days are getting like longer and longer now.
Oh, it could be. I mean,
this week was really long.
I like the extra sunlight, so I don't know. I don't know if that's maybe. Yeah, they feel longer, but I don't know. Whatever.
Pure speculation. Pure conjecture. Sorry, I'm like eating.
Oh, that's fine. I was eating last time.
Yeah, let me see now. It's still a practice run here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're just talking, man.
Man.
So what else is going on?
Shit, man. Just a long week. I just got home. Just overlooking Las Vegas Boulevard from my balcony.
Oh, that's nice, man.
I feel like that's what I should be doing.
That's a dangerous word. Shouldn't be doing anything. You should just be living.
Well, you just said should and should be living. So
yeah, you're the word. That's full circle. Full circle hypocrisy right there.
There you go.
The irony.
Oh my goodness. What's good, man?
Nah, man, I'm really stressed out about my job, trying to find a new job.
What's going on? What the fuck?
Well, no, it's just I realize it's too emotionally draining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I get home, I don't have enough energy to do the things I want to do. So it's just too much. And then my boss is just being very condescending, not towards me, but just towards everyone in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just she's got too much of an ego on her, and it's getting to the point where it's like I don't want to deal with that anymore. I'll miss the kids, but I got to do something else. So we'll see. I'm looking.
You know, you're trying to be a counselor, right?
Yeah. Either way, I got to go to grad school. That's another reason I need to leave this, because there's no way I can do this and grad school. I'm way too drained at the end of the day. So
no, that's not even the point I was making.
Oh, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
You know, you want to go to school to be a counselor.
Correct.
You know how draining that's gonna be?
Yep. It will be. But so it's a different type of draining. The reason I'm drained now is it feels like I have a bunch of children, because I work with these teenagers.
Yeah,
there's a handful of them, and they're all pining for your attention. Okay, here's the thing. Everything, I feel like even if I do something that I enjoy, it's going to be exhausting, and I don't mind the exhausting feeling. But what I want is something that, if I'm sacrificing my time, I want it to be something worthwhile. And what I feel like now is it's not worthwhile, if that makes sense. It's not necessarily the exhaustion that I don't like. It's the fact that it's not aligned with really what I want to do right now. I don't want to be a babysitter. I feel like it's devolved into babysitting. We're not even teaching them as much anymore because there's too many kids. So that's what it is. If I was working one-on-one with some heavy shit with the client, yeah, I'd be draining, but I actually enjoy.
Yeah, guess what?
Yeah, it's different.
No, guess what?
What?
They don't work like that. One-on-one, everything is about volume. So if you're getting into healthcare in general, insurances are slashing rates left and right. So insurances are slashing rates left and right. The only way to combat that is higher volume. Higher volume means less quality time. So that's why I'm fucking drained every single day I come home.
Just running around like crazy?
It's crazy, dude. I saw 208, our clinic saw 208 patients this week. Jeez. And that's considered like whatever week, you know?
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to your clients. It's sad that, like, money drives everything.
It's the system, man.
It is. It's funny you say that. So I was texting you when I was, like, super high on edibles or whatever last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had me and my buddy were talking about like the whole system and how we're literally programmed, you know, to go after certain things. And that's why the stuff you and I talk about is so important, because it's like you have to unplug from the system. Mm-hmm. It's like, where are you spending your time? Are you spending it doing things that the system has told you need to do, or are you truly doing what you want to do? So that's why, I mean, I think both you and I are being drawn towards doing something completely separate from the system, entrepreneurial or at least something on the side, just because it feels so insidious, right?
Yeah, I like that word.
Insidious. It's, and I don't even know if it's anyone's fault. It's just the way the culture is. But
insidious. Is that name taken for the podcast?
What's that?
Insidious.
It is a good word.
I like
word.
That word.
It is a good word. I don't know. Maybe we can make it something of the podcast.
Okay.
I mean, it's been 1 week and we already got a lot of great ideas, man. You and I are smart and creative. We'll come up with some good shit.
Untapped creativity. It's very sad.
Exactly. But hey, you know, we got to do it now. Mm-hmm. The old cliche, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is right now. So mm-hmm. Let's do it. But yeah, man. I just feel, it's like I'm tired. Like I'm tired of just like you've said the same thing. I'm tired of like playing this role. It's draining, man. It's draining. Like playing this role of like, oh, I got to be nice to these kids and all that. It's like, yeah, I care about the kids, but it's just bullshit. So
everything's bullshit, Jeff.
it really is.
This isn't even like the sinister or the cynical side of me coming out.
It's just objective.
It's just me being a real, like everything. Yep. The whole world is full of shit. You just got to play your part. Everything's rigged a certain way. The sports you watch, the your work, government, the judicial system, the legal system rather. Everything is fucking fixed. It's rigged. Man, we just cogs in a system.
Yes.
So it says clinic director on my white coat, right? I'm really just a house sitter.
Hmm.
The clinic director looks better.
Right, right, right. Everything's a euphemism.
Right.
That's very true.
I'm really just a house sitter. I'm keeping an eye on this house for the owner.
No, I mean that's so true. Even the name is funny, like clinic director, and yeah, my job is teacher associate. It always sounds better
with
the title.
What does that mean?
It means there's a certain level of prestige to it. But when you get down to the day to day, it's a bunch of BS.
I'm a physical therapist who happens to also be keeping an eye on the house. So I'm a little bit more than a staff therapist. I do a little bit more than treat patients, but. At the end of the day, I'm a staff therapist who keeps an eye on the house for the owner.
Yeah, man. And like you said before, I think you might have made this metaphor about how you're either a pimp or a whore.
Oh, yeah.
It's like ultimately, if you don't own your own business, you're a whore, right? You're literally selling your time. You're literally giving your time for money.
It's pimps and whores, man.
Which, I mean, it's not to say that if you work for a company, you're not, you know, you can't be okay with that. But I think most people are doing so unconsciously. Like, they get involved in a career. Like you said, not to knock Smitty, but that's like the cookie cutter route for so many people in our demographic.
Oh, yeah, that's not even him. That's just, he's just someone. He's just someone we both know. That's not even
exactly. He's just
that's
a good
our boy.
He's a good example. He's a good example. Yeah. You just get into that job. It's
you
fine.
You shut your brain off. And
exactly. You shut
me
your brain off.
2 weeks.
And you slowly die. You slowly kill your creativity.
Oh,
and
but that's okay. I'll give you a 401k.
Exactly.
I'll give you something to look forward to in 30 years. But
benefits.
You'll be dead in 35, so it's fine.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's got a good clip on it. He's like, oh, it's okay. You got good dental and you got a good benefits. It's like, well, who the fuck cares about that? Like, is that what you want your life to be? I got a solid job, make good money, got good dental program. It's like, what the fuck is that? It's ridiculous. Oh, my God. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. Because it's 401k. You can't even start taking out of it until you're,
right.
You're 59 and a half years old.
Yeah, right.
It's not even 59. They can't even give you 59. You have to be 59 and a half.
And at that point, it's like,
whoever came up with that. See, who came up with that? I don't even know who came up with that. Who came up with that rule? What is that? What are you, 59 and a half?
Right. Like, think about how much of our system is just arbitrary and was set up by people generations before us.
Yeah.
Like, what, one of the
tradition, so we keep it.
Exactly. That was one of the big conversations me and my buddy had, was like, our parents' generation, you know, they fought in the war, all this shit, or, you know, maybe a little older than our parents, but they have these ideals about work and what you should do, you know, stick with a company for 30 years, blah, blah, blah. They have all these values. They set up a culture, but now our values are changing. We need to change that culture. Like, our parents expect us to work a job, or society expects us to work a job to fit in an old system. We're not in that system. We were raised with a different mindset now.
I don't know if we were raised with a different mindset or if we just got enlightened.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think we were raised with their mindset, and now we're starting to wake up to it.
Yeah, that's just fucking every – I don't think I was having this conversation with anybody, but I was having this conversation with myself in my own head.
Sure,
if that makes any sense.
Oh, of course. no, seriously, I mean, that's what we do all
but
day.
But I'd be talking to myself all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I like me some me, and, like, I get me, so, like, who else am I going to talk to, you know?
That's good, man. Seriously, as long as you can be on your own team.
Yeah, I like me some me. I do some dumb shit, but, you know, most of the time I like me some me.
That's good, man.
No, but what was I going to say? No, I just feel like I've just been lied to my whole life. Like, fucking
yes.
Truman Show. That's why I wanted you to watch Truman Show. That's why
yes.
I like, hey, watch Truman Show. Yeah, no, just between, like, school, friend. Like, what the fuck is friend? What a friend? No, honestly.
It's a complete joke.
It's 10 years later, 11, 10, you know, it's over a decade later now for both of us.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is crazy in and of itself. But what the fuck is friend? No, seriously.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What is friend? What did it do? Like, they pressured all these kids. You have to be AP this.
Take your AP test. Get your AP credits. And, like, they created all this anxiety in us. Like, this was, like, do or die.
Make or break. And I'm like, it's high school.
Oh, my God.
Looking back, and I'm like, it's high school. I'm like, who cares?
I mean, I get it. Like, my parents were the first ones in their families to get a college degree and shit. So, like, you know, having their kids get a college degree is a big deal.
No, I get that. No, I'm not. Hold on. No, I'm talking about high school.
Well, no, but that's directly feeding into the whole college thing. It's all about getting into higher education.
No, but that's the thing. Jeff, that's the thing. I mean, you don't raise your kids this way, but, like, in theory, you don't have to try before college.
Absolutely not. You're right.
I mean, you don't want to develop bad habits, but, like, I would rather have a well-rounded kid who gets, like, B's and C's.
Exactly. Don't stress yourself out.
A fucking nerd who has, like, a 4.5 GPA. What the fuck is a 4.5? You're like, what is that? What are you doing?
And that's not going to take you – it's only going to take you so far in life.
You'll get into a great school, but you know what? I got into my no-name schools, and I turned out okay. I mean, what is okay? But, like, you know what I mean? I made it, whatever it is.
I didn't go to
big-name schools. I went to UIC, like, whatever. Like, anybody could have got in there, right? And I went to Toro, probably the worst graduate fucking school in the country. They said yes to me. I went, and I got a piece of paper. And
now you're a doctor.
And now I am a fake doctor, so it's great.
Dr. Riz.
Dr. Riz, whatever that means, you know, whatever. What does Northwestern versus UIC at the end of the day, what does that mean?
It's all a concept. It's a mental image and concept that we've placed on this school that all of a sudden it's worth more. But what does that even mean? Most careers, it doesn't even matter. Like, let's say I'm hiring a lawyer, am I going to care? If you're a good lawyer, I don't give a shit what school you went to.
Right. So to that point, though, to play the other side of that, it does help you get your foot in the door.
Yes.
Once your foot is in the door.
Then it doesn't matter. Exactly.
You can wipe your ass with it.
Exactly. No, for yeah, Law was probably a poor example because that
Law
was
probably the worst example you could yeah, like
because that one
okay.
Actually
no,
matters.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, generally speaking, once you get in the field, that's it. It doesn't matter. It's your work will speak for itself.
Yeah, exactly. And you catch some breaks and you make your breaks. And you know what's funny to your point, or the point you were making about you stay with the company for 30 years. I switched jobs like 7 times my first couple of years. 7.
Right.
And you know what? If I hadn't have done that, I'd be a staff therapist making a staff therapist salary still, waiting for my shop. But I created my own shop because I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm worth more. No, I'm doing that. And then I waited for somebody to kind of give me an opportunity. Yeah, I got it. But that was because I hopped around, not because I stayed loyal to so-and-so company. Because they're not going to stay loyal to you. They don't give a shit.
Exactly, especially in this day and age. Maybe back in the day they cared
maybe back
more,
in the
but
day.
Yeah, nowadays, now nah. You got to look out for yourself. Because that's like Fister right now. I'm trying to tell him, like, he hates his job right now. He's like, yeah, I want to stay there for at least a year. I'm like, why? Like, he hates it. I'm like, what? Like, he feels like he has to put in his time, but he's not even in the field he enjoys. I'm like, who cares about a year in a job that literally you don't give a shit about? That it's just weird, these ideas we have in our head.
Well, I mean, there's these fixed ideas. So, like, on a resume, you have to stay with the company for at least 2 years. And, or else you look like you're someone who's going to hop around, which there's truth to that per se, but like, that's just a pussy mentality.
It's just like, so basically I'm going to waste my life. I mean, we've all kind of had that mindset before. I've been there. It's like, oh, I should stay here for a little longer. But yeah, ultimately, if you're not happy, I mean, get out, or at least start working on a plan.
Yeah. But what is a plan? Because I think of shit all the time. Because I'm not going to be on this 30-year plan.
No.
I do what I'm doing now until I'm 60. Right? Oh, I'll have a fat 401k, but who knows if I'll even be around to enjoy it.
Yeah, but you'd be miserable.
Right. So that's a plan. But
well, I guess the plan would be more short-term.
Like, well, obviously, I'm talking long-term, but in short-term, it's like I've kind of reached – for me, I'm just using me specifically. This
doesn't
apply to everyone. I've pretty much reached the top of my profession already. The only way I could go higher from where I am is if I owned my own practice.
Right. If you started
and I don't want to do that. So what do I do? You know what I mean? Because I've looked for jobs. It's like everything else I do. My next job in physical therapy will be a huge step down from this one. It will be a huge step down financially and, you know, as far as title and just, you know, stature. It's a huge, like, to be a director, go from a director. I'm talking about on paper. Not sure. A director with a director salary to being a staff therapist. Like, that's a huge step down financially. And stature-wise. So it's like, do I go back down to 3 days a week and make less money and, you know, curtail my life a bit? Because right now I have 2 mortgages too, you know? So it's like, that's tough.
You need the money.
I need the money. I fell right into the trap.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the trap we all get into, right?
You're talking about Fister. Oh, I have to stay a little longer. Yeah. What's he going to do? What's he going to do other than what he's doing right now? He's going to get another job with title, whatever company.
I mean, he's got an MBA. He's got an MBA, so he, you know, I don't know what he wants to do.
MBA doesn't matter. MBA doesn't matter without the experience.
True.
Like, if you went straight through school and got your MBA, didn't have any experience in the field, you're trying to practice, you wipe your ass with your MBA. MBA don't mean anything.
No, that's true. If you're going to do something in business, they're not going to want someone that's never had a business job.
Right.
Then you're just textbook. Yeah.
Then you're just textbook. And you have no clinical, not, it wouldn't be called clinical.
Practical.
There's no practical application. Yeah.
Which is way more important. Yeah.
So, in that respect, maybe he needs to stay, you know, a little bit just to get the hands on, whatever.
That's fair.
He needs his reps.
Yeah.
You got to get your reps.
Get your sports metaphor in too.
Yeah, you got to get your reps and then you can plot his next move.
No, that's a good counterpoint.
You know, so that sucks. We're all kind of, who the hell's doing what they want to do right now?
I know, that's the funny thing, right? Like very, very, very few. Well, so here's the thing. We're all smart dudes. We recognize this. What are we going to do about it?
That's the problem.
Right. I mean, this is good. Right now, this is doing something about it. We're at least collaborating, sharing ideas. The creative juices are flowing. Like, this is good. But
this is necessary.
Absolutely. Because you never know where this will lead. Even just talking is fantastically, like, cathartic and healthy. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't have a friend or someone they can talk to about this stuff because everyone's so plugged into the system.
Yeah.
That if you bring up these ideas, they're like, what? No, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. So it's good that we can have this discussion. But it's like, what are our skills? What can we do? I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Because my life gets me a lot. I have a nice high rise. I live off of Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah, I mean, that's sick.
It's wild. You think in high school, like, I would have ever thought, friend high school, Palatine, Illinois, I would have ever thought I'd be living in a high rise off Las Vegas Boulevard 10 years later. It's wild.
No,
it's
absolutely,
and I'm not even saying it like to brag.
No, I know.
We're way beyond that. It's just like, it's just wild. Like, life, where it takes you.
It is, man. Yeah, you have all these ideas when you're in high school or when you're younger, and I guess it goes to show you don't know what the fuck's going to happen at all, especially if you let yourself be carried away by the momentum of society and don't think for yourself, because that's where I'm at now. It's like, holy shit, I'm almost 30. What the hell have I been doing, you know? It's like, Jesus. It is insane, man.
Like we're 30, but we talk like we're 50.
I know. Like that meme I sent you and Smitty about like how your dreams, like when you stay at home, don't go out. It's like.
It's not a punishment at all. I fucking love it.
Me too, man. Like seriously. It's like the older
I'll go out to feel like, okay, maybe I should go because I feel like I should.
Right. Like once in a while or once in a while. I don't know.
But like not even because I like want to.
You just feel like, all right, I should probably do it.
I should probably have it. It's probably healthy for me to go do something.
Well, yeah, I mean, the older you get, it's like you realize you don't really need that much shit. Like you said, especially in your case, if you're dating someone or whatever, like, what do you really need? Like, the whole social game, it gets tired after, you know, when you're our age. Like, you don't care as much, you know. So, like, after a certain
point. You don't care as much, but, like, we're on the younger side of not caring as much. We're, you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean most?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's people that, like, till the day they die, they're obsessed with the social game. Yeah, no doubt. Well, you realize the insanity of it. Like, what's the point? Is it for ego boost? Is it for approval? Most people it is, and we've all been there. But it's like, what does that do for you? I mean, ultimately, I think you and I both just want to, like, create shit and, like, feel like actually, like, we're doing something. That's what I want. I just want to feel like I'm actually doing something. I'm engaged instead of, like, half-assing life, you know? Finding something worthwhile and creating it.
Yeah, creating it, but then not making any money.
Well, ideally, the money would follow, but...
Right, but, that's just the reality of...
I mean, it depends what you...
That's why you got to cash checks in the meantime.
Well, yeah, exactly. You start, like what we're doing now, you have these conversations on the side. You start brainstorming on the side as a hobby. And then the theory is hopefully it becomes bigger and bigger and you can make it your career, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can't just quit and be the starving artist. I mean, you could, but that's not really... That's just not smart at all.
You know what it is if you don't have any debt?
I suppose. If you can truly just, like, wait tables and bartend and just get by. But, yeah, that's a good point. If you don't have any...
You know, part of me envies those people.
The freedom.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah?
I'm not kidding. Because if I didn't have all this debt, I could do that.
I mean, obviously it's a little risky in terms of, like, if anything catastrophic happens, but at the same time, you're not tied down to anything. Like, my parents' friends, they have one of their kids. He's like our age. He just travels around the world and works at hotels. Like, he just stays in a spot for, like, a year or two, and then he moves. And he's kind of doing that right now. Like, he was in New Zealand. He was some other country. So it's like, yeah. I mean, people are doing that. I think he was working on a cruise ship for a while. Just like, yeah. Experiencing shit, too. That's a lifestyle as well.
That could also be constituted as drifting.
Yes. In his case, I think he's running from shit, too.
Drifting, running. Yeah. Not grounded in anything whatsoever, which is also dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah, and he had, like, a big drug problem. So his is not necessarily ideal, but
let's acknowledge that.
Yeah, of course. Nothing's going to be without its flaws. Everything, when you lift up the tiles, there's going to be some slugs underneath it. But, like, there are options, yeah. Oh. But, yeah, the feeling trapped is the hardest part, man. The debt. And then it's like you feel like you can't get out from the debt. You have to work. Like you said, I mean, I know I don't have as much debt as you do, but I'm already starting to feel that. And if I go to grad school, there's going to be more debt. So it's just.
What would you do besides grad school? That's my thing.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, like, I've tried to think about, like, talents. I'm like, yeah, I like writing. I like blogging and shit. But, like, that's a hobby for now, you know? Like, I can't make a career out of that. So I don't know. I could do like a typical sales job or something, but I would be miserable.
No, you'd hate your life.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably like it for like a month or two because it'd be a new challenge, but then I'd hate
No, you hate your life right away.
I'd hate everyone I work with. Yeah. I interviewed for one of those jobs a while ago, and there was like a 23-year-old kid was like leading the sales team. I'm like, oh my God.
You don't want to do that.
No.
You want to know what you're bringing in each month, man. You don't want a commission-based gig.
Yeah. It'd be too stressful.
Yeah.
Oh. It's tough, man.
It's tough. I'm so drained right now. It's like not even 5 o'clock my time.
Well, fuck it. Let's re-energize. Let's talk some baseball or something.
Baseball. Okay. We were supposed to come up with a top five.
Yeah, what do you got?
Predictions for the year.
How bold are yours? I'm curious. Like, are we talking like very unlikely?
Yes or no. I actually don't have my list in front of me. So that's fine. What we can do.
We can just talk about a couple if you remember any.
No, I mean, I've got one right off the top of my head. I will share with you right now. Brandon Woodruff. Will finish top five in the NL Cy Young voting this year.
That is bold.
This year, based on last year's splits, if you project those, I think he pitched like maybe 50 innings out of the bullpen at about 55-60 strikeouts. If they stretched him out, if you can get you about 160-170 innings. He can probably get you close to 190, 200 strikeouts, an ERA south of 3, healthy whip. He's going to be on a good Brewers team that's going to score. He's going to get a ton of run support. Yep. I mean, you might be looking at a guy who gets you 17-plus wins, somewhere north of 200 strikeouts, an ERA sub 3. He'll be in the discussion.
I like it.
So,
that's bold. That's
so,
bold.
I hated trading him in that deal.
Yeah.
I really hated giving him up, but the thing is he hasn't proven it yet. So I can't put too much stock into my prediction that he will do.
Right, he
can also go the other way. I have no idea. He is not a proven commodity.
Exactly.
But it really sucked including him in that Will Myers deal. That being said, Will Myers was 2-for-2 yesterday, and he did go.
No, that was a great deal. I would have done the same. I offered him a couple things for Will Myers a while ago, but obviously not enough.
Yeah, and I think it was last week we were discussing on this podcast, I'm trying to get rid of all my closers.
Yep.
So I was able to kind of start fresh. I end up getting Sergio Romo in the deal. We'll probably close for now, but like whatever, you know.
He might get traded, and it's Miami, so
yeah, it's Miami, so like who cares? Yeah. So I'll keep him for now, but like just because I don't really have anybody else. But it was nice to kind of hit the reset button on the closers and just, you know, and then we'll see, you know, whoever materializes on the waiver wire throughout the year.
Exactly, you can see how the season goes.
Kind of pick them up slowly as the year goes. So yeah, punting the closing category for sure for now. So yeah, that's probably my biggest bold prediction. I gave it away on the first one. What do you got from there?
Oh, let me see. I took a picture. Hold on. I got some that aren't that bold, and then I got a couple. I had one on Harper.
Did you? You went Harper.
No, but negatively. I think Harper. What did I have on Harper? Maybe I didn't take a picture. Fuck.
Dude, I did the same thing. I thought I took a picture of my top five, and I didn't.
Oh, okay. This is my Trey Turner. I did a lot of my fantasy team. I think he combines for 80. Between stolen bases and homers, I think the total number is 80. I'm predicting 20 bombs, 60 steals.
60 steals?
Yes, sir. Bold prediction, man.
I guess. Well, you're predicting right there that he's going to stay healthy.
Yes, sir.
So that's
he's what, already a 20th of the way there. He had three yesterday.
Stolen bases yesterday?
Yeah.
Guy's a beast. He did.
Yeah. Turner's sick. And he had, I think, 18 bombs last year and 43 steals in what was a disappointing season. Like,
which is crazy.
Yeah. He went 20-40 basically on a disappointing season. His on base was only like 340 or something. So I think he blows up. Batting second is perfect for him. There's like no one. There's no Bryce Harper for him to like not run in front of anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that might cut him loose a little bit more. That's a good point.
Exactly. And before the season, what's his name? Dave Martinez, the manager. That's his name. The guy that was on the Cubs.
Davey, yeah, Dave.
Yeah. He said he wants Trey to attempt 75-80. So sounds like he's gonna be on the loose. I also had Jorge Soler hits 30 bombs and is a top 75 fantasy player.
Oh, Soler. Okay.
Yes.
That is,
yes.
Yeah, I'm so done with Soler. I can't quit Soler for 5 years. I mean, he is the definition of a post type sleeper.
Yep, every year he is.
Yeah, I'm personally done with Soler. If you want to buy some Soler stock, that's
Well, yeah, the final boss has him in our league. I'm kind of bummed out. I wanted him.
Well, but then trade for him. I doubt he values him that much.
Well, that's kind of the thing. I'm hoping he'll just drop him at some point. Like if he starts a little slow, you just cut him because you can't just wait on him all year.
Yeah. All right. I got one for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Buster Posey does not finish as a top 10 fantasy catcher this season.
I like that. I'm going to tell Fister that one.
No, does Fister have him?
He loves him. I'm like, dude. Why? Exactly. I'm like, dude, he gets you on base percentage. That's it. He's in a bad lineup. Even if he's healthy.
Very bad lineup. In a pitcher's ballpark.
Exactly. And he's 32, 33.
Yeah, he's injured every year of his life.
And he's only going to get like 400 ABs tops.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
I'm not big on the Buster.
No.
I'm not big on the Buster. What you got?
Let's see. Oh, I have my boy Reese finishes as a top 5 fantasy player. He hits 40 bombs, 120 ribbies. I think he's gonna feast in that lineup. Like, absolutely.
He's
feast.
Hitting behind Harper and in front of who?
Real Muto.
Okay.
Yesterday was a perfect example. They had second and third, no outs. Harper's up. They walk Harper, gets to Hoskins. He hits a grand slam.
Yeah.
I could see a lot of shit like that. So, I think he's going to absolutely blow up this year. Like, 370 on base, 40 bombs, 120 ribbies. Just,
you know he should be on my team right now, right?
Thank God.
Oh, man. My lineup would be even more stacked than what it is.
Didn't you have – wasn't it actually Hoskins and Javi, too?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That would have ruined the league.
Jesus Christ, dude. That would have ridiculous.
Ruined the entire league. Are you kidding me? My lineup's already stacked. You had those two. Shut it down. God. For like David Mercy or Daniel Murphy.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you had...
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Hoskins, Baez, Bregman, Shaw. Acuna is going to be insane too. I watched him yesterday a little bit. He looks
Acuna, Harper, Soto, Springer. Yeah, the lineup, Bogarts.
Yeah, no, I like Bogarts a lot too.
Yeah, so the lineup is just the lineup's just insane.
It is.
Whit Merrifield even can throw him in there. He has two stolen bases opening day. Dude.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, my lineup would have been just insane.
Thank God that did not happen.
Oh,
Jesus.
My goodness. Actually, you kind of put me in a mood. That kind of pissed me off. Oh,
damn it.
Oh my God. Had to have given up somebody else in that deal besides Daniel Murphy. It was Murphy.
It wasn't anyone good. It was like Murphy. Who was it? It was like a pitcher that that wasn't that good. Damn. It was like a Hendricks. Didn't you have Hendricks?
Hendricks is good.
He's fine. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys.
So?
Like he's good, not great.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
It's like a top 35.
And then that was before Javi blew up. That wasn't a bad deal at the time.
It wasn't, but I think we all knew how good Hoskins had been. We're like, yeah. Dude, like you're giving up value. You're getting an old guy who gets hurt a lot in Murphy, a above average pitcher, for potentially one of the most valuable keepers in Hoskins. And then Javi still had value. I remember Smitty was like, oh, Javi is who he is. I'm like, no, man, he still has potential.
No, because I said the same thing on Javi. I wasn't that high on him. I was more about his position flexibility.
Yeah, versatility. And he'll still give you like 20. You know, he'll still get like 20.
Like his on base was garbage. Like, yeah, I valued his versatility, not so much his upside.
And he's a Cub. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a Cub, sure.
It's nice having.
But it was definitely Hoskins I was targeting in that deal.
I'm just glad I got him back after I traded him for Zach Britton that year.
Oh, that was stupid.
It's a classic case of going in for it all. Yeah, but no one thought Hoskins would be that good.
You did.
Well, the problem is the reason it was stupid is because I picked him up and I held him half the season, and then as soon as he gets called up, I'm like, okay. But I got him back, and Arenado, all's well. All's well. I had to give up Seager, though.
And Seager's whatever.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he's a really good real-life player.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, we both agree on him. 25 bombs, maybe 80 or 90. I mean, still good in fantasy, but he's not, like, a superstar. Top 25, maybe, but.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, I gave you two. I have another one, but I'm trying to save it. I'm trying to think of what else here. Oh, yes, I have one for you. Yandy Diaz.
Did you just add him?
I did. Yandy Diaz finishes as a top 10 fantasy third baseman this year.
Wow.
Hear me out. One, Google an image of Yandy Diaz.
Oh, I know he's jacked. I know he's jacked.
He's jacked out of his mind. That is A. B, his launch angle. He improved his launch angle. He has one of the better launch angles in the league. And C, it's unusual because for a guy that jack, he doesn't really hit for a lot of power.
That is weird.
Which kind of leads me to believe that his power is coming. And he's been working on it because, I mean, if we're thinking that, then I'm sure the people who are up close.
Right.
They're looking at him like, dude, you're fucking jacked.
Right, he's going to grow into his power.
Yeah, so he's going to have all the opportunity in Tampa Bay. He's batting fourth. He's batting cleanup. Great on-base percentage. Yeah, this guy takes a lot of walks. So he's got a good eye at the plate. He grows into his power. A little bit. He's going to get all the at-bats he can handle, I believe, in Tampa. And Tampa has a sneaky good lineup. They got Austin Meadows who can do some things. Tommy Pham's a good player. Kevin Kiermaier, when he's on the field, he's a good player.
But he's never on the field. Yeah.
Well, he's on the field today. So, yeah. they got a few guys in their lineup that, you know, it's not a terrible lineup they have. I mean, I don't think they're going to have a competitive year.
No.
Any means, but it's not a terrible lineup. They're going to score some runs, and Yandy is going to be a part of that. So I'm going to say Yandy will finish. Yeah, top 10. I'm going to go 25 homers, on base percentage around 380. He'll drive in around 90.
Oof.
He'll drive in around 90 people. He'll score a share of runs. He'll get 500 at bats, and he's going to take his walks. So that's top. I put top 10 third base.
Oof. Yandy Diaz. I like it. No, I like it. I mean, it's a good argument.
I'll put him top 10. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm biased because I'm rooting for it.
Oh, but, of course. Yeah. I mean,
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You know?
Let's see. This one's not really that bold, but I got Charlie Blackman takes a huge step back. He doesn't eclipse 25 homers or 10 stolen bags or a 360 on base. Just, I feel like he's going to hit a wall. He got paid. He's been declining every year. His hard hit percentage, I think, is going down. His fly ball percentage is going down. He doesn't steal as much. His defense sucks. Like, everything's just dropping off quickly. So, unfortunately, I think that's going to happen. I'm trying to move him, but no one's biting.
Shit, I'll take him.
He's 33.
I'll take him.
All right.
You want Jake Lamb?
God damn it. Speaking of which, I got to come up with something for Matt Strom. I think he's going to be a top 30 pitcher. When all is said
I do
done.
Like him. I do he, like him. He strikes know, out a lot of guys. In the past, I've liked him since his Kansas City days. Ton of upside. Just exactly. Never really put it together. He's going to be at Petco. He'll get some sneaky good run support. He stays healthy, kind of harnesses his stuff like he did in spring training for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, he looks very good.
It's a good pitcher, man. Yeah, Padres have a sneaky decent staff.
They got sneaky good. Yeah, sneaky good team, really. One of my bold predictions just for regular season baseball is I think they're going to finish top 15 in offense. Like, I think their lineup's actually better than people give it credit
crowded.
For.
Their outfield's crowded. They have a lot of talented outfielders.
They have, like, five outfielders.
They all, like, if they could go 30-20 if they all had full playing time.
Yeah, they have a super talented outfield. Yeah. Margot's actually, probably the one guy I don't that like does the that power.
Is, yeah, I don't like Renfroe. I wish they would kind of send him down. But
he's got pop, but he – he's on base is what, like 280 or something?
Yeah, I'm not crazy on Renfro. They move on from him. If the NL had a DH, you could put him at the DH, but like they got Franmil Ramirez, Franchi Cordero.
I like Franchi a lot. I was thinking about stashing him, but it's too crowded, yeah.
It's too crowded. Well, I like Franmil Ramirez. Or Reyes.
For Franmil Reyes, yeah, but he's on Tim's team, I think. Tim Kyle.
Yeah. I actually tried including him in that deal. For Will Myers, I actually asked for Franmil too. He shot it down. Then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to haggle too much. Just give me Will Myers.
I'm surprised he did that move. Have you seen his hitting right now?
Let me look.
It's bad.
I mean, I gave him good closers. I mean, whether or not they finish the year as closers, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know why he made that move. I know he's got Scooter injured, but his lineup is – got some holes.
Oh no, I just clicked on Fister's roster. Oops, just kidding. Yeah, he likes Bell. I don't know why.
He's been around like what, 4 or 5 years now.
He hasn't done anything. Ramirez is fantastic.
Yeah, Ramirez of course. He's just, superstar.
Ramirez is just fantastic. Who saw that coming from him?
Seriously. Yeah, at least he doesn't have crazy value on him. I think he's like a 6th round pick or something.
He's good. King. I do like King if he can stay on the field.
He's got pop.
Yeah. Let's see. Bellinger's fantastic.
Yeah, Bellinger and Judge, of course.
I've been trying to get Bellinger from him. He hasn't been.
Me too. Yeah, I gave him like 4 or 5 offers.
Oh, okay. I feel like I'm the only one who's like offering trades in this league.
No. I'm offering a lot too.
Good. He's got Christian Stewart, who I do like.
Yeah, I think he homered yesterday.
You did.
But the fact that he's starting him is, I don't know.
No, not the utility. That's fine.
We'll see. I just remember looking at
his team. I
don't
mind with the utility. It's not one of his, you know, core players.
Right.
Like, I would probably start him at utility, too, if you were on my team. I actually wanted him.
No, he's all right. Yeah.
He's going to get all the at-bats he can handle. He's got a lot of pop.
I guess that's the good thing about him being on a bad team. Yeah, he's going to get a chance. He's going to get a chance to struggle.
That's what I'm saying. So that's good value there. Scooter's out. Let's see. His pitching is. I did like Freddy Peralta, but
is he starting right now? For
yeah,
them?
Yeah. So they sent Chase Anderson to the bullpen.
Yeah, what? That is hilarious.
Yeah, which is fine because my pitchers, I had Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns on the roster.
Do you still have Corbin?
I have Corbin. So I do like Corbin too. Not as much as I like Woodruff, but I do like Corbin. Let's see his pitch. You got Lucchesi.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Joey Lucchesi.
God, what a Guido name.
Lucchesi, man.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, speaking of Guidos, you got to watch that Green Book movie.
Oh, that's right.
At some point, it's not like anything reinventing the wheel. It's just a good. It has some of the cliche like black white thing.
Yeah,
but it kind of switches the roles because this white Italian dude is driving for this black dude who's like really cultured. A lot of good stuff in there about being who you are. I think you'd dig it.
Yeah, maybe I'll stay in tonight like I want to, and I'll put it out. I'll order it.
Yeah, stay in, exactly.
Exactly. I'm freaking tired, dude. So, did I give you my last one, or was it you?
No, go ahead. I think mine was the Blackman one.
Okay, you did say Blackman, and then we went on a tangent. I will try and acquire. I will try and acquire. Yes. Okay. Now that I know.
I know this is good. That's the funny thing about these conversations. Now we know how we value guys a little bit.
Yeah. So let me give you something out of left field. Derek Holland finishes top 50 starting pitcher.
I had him, and then I dropped him. Do you have him now?
No, but this is where it gets dangerous because you and I are in the same league, and I'm kind of
exactly.
But exactly. I definitely have my eye on him.
Yeah, me too. I think he's just one of the – he's like a high floor, low ceiling. Like he's going to be, like you said, top 50 seems about right.
Yeah.
Like he'll give you
value. So maybe that's not as bold as I think it is. But if you remember, he had a shitty year with the White Sox.
He was horrible. He was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Yep.
Yeah, so to go from that to top 50, that is pretty bold, I think, maybe. A little bit.
That's all right.
So, yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, so I have my eye on Derek Collins.
For sure.
So,
let's just show each other our watch lists from the league. Let's just do that.
Yeah, well, I'm watching everybody, so.
Every available player is on your watch list.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. Speaking of the White Sox, how bad does that James Shields for Tatis trade look?
Oh
my God.
Fuck. I was thinking about that yesterday.
Oh, my God. That's awful. I feel like every team has those, though. But
that's really crazy. Bad, though. That's
considering really the timing bad. Of it, the timing of it right now, they could have had Tatis, and then maybe they push harder for Machado. Oh, man. That's funny.
And then you have Yoan Moncada at second still.
He's still – yeah, exactly. He's still super young.
He's still, you know, hot prospect. You have Jimenez. Who the hell are they playing in center?
I don't know. Exactly. I think they got Daniel Polka.
Polka's in, like, left or right. He's a corner outfielder.
Yeah,
he has good power,
guy.
But he doesn't get
and it. He's another guy. Well, I'll be careful, but I like him too.
No, that's okay. I have my eye on him. He just doesn't get on base. I don't like people who don't get on base. But, yeah, I definitely have my eye on him.
And he's in a bad lineup.
Yeah. But he's got power.
I think Luis Robert will be center field at some point, but I think he's still a year or two away.
You could add an infield of, like, forget Machado. You could add Tatis, Anderson,
Moncada,
and
Abreu.
That's a nice infield. I'll take that infield.
And then Jimenez and this year they got John Jay.
Yeah, he's the
veteran.
Prototypical. Let me buy some time. Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you fill in your roster with those veteran guys. Exactly.
That's what we call a bridge guy. Yeah.
Yonder Alonso.
He's a professional hitter. He gets on base.
Exactly.
He'll play good defense, you know, whatever. Good
right.
Guy,
you know what he is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. John Jay. He'll have a job for as long as he'd like. John Jay.
It's got to be interesting from like those guys' perspective, like psychologically. You kind of know what you are too. You're, you know, you're 30 plus. You're like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go to this team and just be a leader. Put in my time. It's interesting how it probably changes as you go through your
career. Right, because we forget
And that's actually a really good point, because we forget all these guys are superstars coming up.
Exactly.
So it's, how do you go from being a superstar in high school, star player in college, to be like, okay, I guess I'll just kind of be a journeyman, whatever.
Yeah, journeyman is the word.
Yeah, like player. When I growing up, I was a star. So that's interesting. That's got to be a tough dynamic, definitely.
Yeah.
They're very underrated in sports in general.
Exactly. Then again, I mean, yes, you make good money, but there's
but I mean, sports is a good metaphor for life, right?
It is.
I make good money. Like, so what?
Yeah, after a certain point, it doesn't do anything for you.
So what? Your tastes become a little bit more refined, and it's like, see, ideally, I'd make the money I make and still live like I was broke as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't work like that, because as you make this money, your taste
more
lifestyle, everything, you know, people start coming into your life, you support them, you know, and just things chip away, you know, at your income. But if I could just make this money and live like fucking, like I'm 18 years old, like college freshman, I'd be fucking loaded.
Living like you're 18, getting Taco Bell all the time.
Yeah, ramen and shit, like... That'd be what's up.
You're making bank.
But it's time to quote unquote grow up, you know.
So. Yes, quote unquote is important. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah. So
kill your creativity and take life super seriously. That's what it means.
Yeah, that's what it means. So time to quote unquote grow up. So that's what I did. That's what y'all told me to do, right? Oh man.
It's funny how when you're a kid, everyone's like, "Oh yeah, dude, like you're so creative, like you could be whatever you want." And then when you get to a certain age, I don't know what the age is. Everyone's like, all right, be practical, get a fucking job, stop living in
high
the clouds.
High school.
Yeah.
No, that was high school. AP this, AP that. What the fuck? Can you explain? What the fuck is AP European history? can someone explain this to me?
Even the name of it is funny. Advanced placement. You're trying to get placed into a different class, right?
I'm trying to get placed in the European history for what? For what?
It's insane.
What are we talking about?
If I have kids, I want to make sure I make enough money that they can go to like Montessori school or something.
I have a younger sister, friend, and I told her you are not to take a single AP class.
That's good advice, man. It's a joke.
I'm like, you know, when you take college classes, college.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Why stress about it?
And you're going to have 4 years of them. Don't worry about it. You'll get to them. Trust me. They're not that great. And you know what? They're actually – the college classes are actually easier than the high school classes. So you know what?
Yep.
So you know what the irony of it is? Those classes that you're placing out of in college – in high school because you score whatever on your APs, those are your GPA boosters in college that you want to take – to boost your GPA, because the harder classes, your major classes, are gonna bring that GPA down. So you're gonna wish you had those filler classes, but oh no, you can't, because you're already placed out of it because you scored a 4 or 5 on your AP whatever, and now you don't have those filler classes. So you're gonna go straight to college and take your major classes and struggle them. Your GPA is gonna be a little lower than what it should be because you didn't have any buffer classes. So you fucked yourself. Good job.
Yeah, it's the parents, man. Because I remember how high strung all the students were. It's insane.
I was.
Like, they'd be, like you're in the library studying. It's like, relax. You're 17, 18 years old. Like,
17, like 15. I'm talking about 18. Yeah. Like, fuck are you talking about? I have to go to college. Everyone goes to college.
Yeah, especially if you go to France.
Yeah, everybody goes to college.
Just get C's, you'll be fine.
I mean, that's not the advice I would give, but like the truth, that's how we started the podcast. You don't even have to try before college. And you know what? If you go to Harper, if you go to community college and you do well for a year and a half, 2 years, you can go to pretty much, you're not going to go to the top school, but you can pretty much transfer to whatever school you wanted to after.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And you save tens of thousands of dollars.
But you know, it's so taboo to go to community college because you're a failure and you're a loser and you're this and you're that. If I have kids, dude, if you're not getting a scholarship in high school, whether that be academic or athletic, if you're not getting a full ride somewhere, you get your ass in community college
and you crush it. And that's how I'd raise my kids. I'm like, okay, so like, you want to be a respectable student and like just be a killer athlete. That's fine. And you get a full ride. You go to whatever college you want. That's fine. But to expect me to pay for your college, there's no way. For 4 years, there's no way I'll do it. Either get your ass a full ride. But I'll make it clear up front. You get your ass a full ride. Or you can go to community college for a couple of years. Crush it. And then transfer to whatever school. And then from there, you can kind of – you save yourself 2 years of
college. Hey, you literally save yourself $40,000 too, at least.
Minimum. You know. Minimum.
Minimum, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably talking closer to 60. But, yeah, let's go 40.
40 to 80. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And then you could fund your last 2 years of college. You could take out a loan in just 2 years. And you could pay that off over time. That would still be better than whatever I did. Whatever, you know, Smitty's parents would cover everything. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. I got, like, a stipend. I didn't even get, like, a full ride. I got, like, $5,000 a year.
Okay.
Which is okay, but, like, it's not, you know, not by no means a full ride.
Right.
So, if you're paying sticker price to go to college, then I'll be like, yo, you just go to community college.
That's a joke. And then the funny thing is you're going to those colleges and you're just getting shit-faced. And, like, you know, most kids are just going there and partying.
You're right. Like, your first couple of years, you're just partying anyways.
Exactly.
So why don't you, like, grow up a couple more years, right? Get a little bit more mature. I didn't do it because my big thing was I just need to leave home. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't wait. And that was the big thing for me. I just had to leave home. I had to go. So that's why I was like, fuck it, I'll go, like, wherever. But my first couple of years of school, I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. I didn't even decide I was going to be a physical therapist till like, the end of my sophomore year.
Hey, you still did it, man. It's a credit to you. I just went to Northern.
Yeah, I still did it. But my point was, but that's not, again, it's not even, like, a brag.
No,
my whole point is to say that I didn't know what I was doing my first couple of years. I could have gone to community college.
Should have, probably, right? Yeah.
Yeah, in retrospect, I mean, I won't say I should have because I really wanted to leave home. That was my big thing. But, yeah, let's say I wanted to stay at home or I didn't mind staying at home. Yeah, I should have gone to community college. No question. No question. What did I really do my first 2 years? Nothing. I was just partying and getting shit-faced and barely getting by on my classes and, you know. Which I guess is part of the college experience and all that, but, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that's another cultural narrative, the college experience.
But even then, you have 2 more years to do that, you know. And by the time you transfer to school, you're almost 21 or, you know, 21. Then you can go do whatever you want legally anyways, so.
Exactly. Theoretically, you're a little more mature.
In theory, you know.
Yeah, everything's in theory.
Everything's a theory.
Drugs.
Just
words, man.
Just words.
dude, this is good stuff, man.
That's good content. Where else are you going to get this content?
I don't know. Nowhere.
I haven't listened to a ton of podcasts, but nowhere. You get this kind of stuff, a little fantasy. Reality.
That's why it's called foul territory.
Wow. You don't know where we're going next.
And we're like the OK Coliseum. We got a lot of foul territory.
Yeah, we do. We got foul territory.
Oh, man.
I'm in Las Vegas. Everything's foul territory.
Seriously, though. Schomburg's pretty much the same thing.
It's just pretty
wild.
It's
wild.
Well, you guys are getting Spring Awakening, so yeah.
Yeah, Poplar Creek, man. That's going to be dope. Yeah. Friday's a good day. We're going Friday.
Oh, is that this week?
No. I mean, it's going to be the good lineup. It's the good lineup.
Oh, okay. Right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice. I'm just out walking. Birds are still chirping.
Chirping? Oh, is that what I'm listening to? What are you, on the balcony?
No, I'm walking around the complex right now. I was walking around by Schomburg Road.
Schomburg Road. That's a beautiful road, this road, let me tell you.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very rustic.
Rustic.
I like McDonald's rustic furniture. Yeah.
I'm big on the rustics.
My dream is like to have a home somewhere like a little off the beaten path in like the Southwest somewhere with like a very not traditional, like you said, rustic, natural stuff, like wood. I don't know, something like that.
Wood. Go to Denver. I got wood.
Yeah, well, we're going there soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, hopefully.
I mean, no, I am going. I just want to go longer than one. I'm gonna go.
Then one day.
Yeah, then it's a round trip. But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, man, do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, exactly. It's what I have to do.
Yep. It's not what you want to do, but it's what you have
to
do.
What I have to do. You got to do what you got to do. So we're going to do it.
Are you tired? You want to call it? Are we out of stuff?
I think I used. Let me see if I got one more. Five, but like I did, I got like four in. That's pretty.
I wrote
content for our listeners. Yes.
Oh, it is. We have so many listeners too.
Yes.
Oh
man. Yes.
Oh, I had a Joey Gallo one. It's not that. Oh, actually, I had a couple more. I'll just go through them quick. So Matt Barnes, I think he leads the AL in saves. I think he keeps the job. He had a good year last year. I think, I mean, it's still Boston. They're going to win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joey Gallo, I think he finally hits over 225. He hits 45 bombs and he gets to 100 ribbies. It's not that wild, but I'm just
he
I
hits
just
over
like,
225. Oh my,
that's pretty wild. I mean, he hit 207 last year, I think.
Yeah, and he's still really good. And his on base was what, 330?
Last year was pretty bad. It was only like 315.
Yeah, but with that power, you take it.
Exactly. And the year before, it was like 333. So, yeah, I'll take that any day with that power.
Yeah, you get 330 with that power. Yeah.
And then one more. I like this one. Zach Wheeler is the best pitching, the best pitcher on the Mets. I think he has the best year. Sub 3 ERA, wins 18 games. He's always had the tools. He's just been hurt.
Yeah.
And I think
– There's no way he stays. He's better than Rom.
That's bold predictions, baby.
But based on what? You're expecting some sort of regression on DeGrom, then?
Yes.
That far back?
Well, not that far back. I mean, he had what did he have? A 1.8 ERA.
Okay, so he gets to like 2.5.
I think he goes maybe 2.75, 2.8. I think Wheeler goes like 2.6. Has a sensational season.
Okay.
Strikes out a little over. Nine per nine innings. Maybe like maybe he goes 200 innings, has 210 Ks.
DeGrom won the Cy Young last year, right?
He did.
How the hell did he win 10 games?
It's a joke. Pitcher wins is a joke. They need to remove that stat.
Well, you have quality starts. I'm sure he did a ton. Like every start was a quality start.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a completely arbitrary stat, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, this past season have improved that.
Yep.
I mean, his stats are incredible.
I get, like, back in the day, it used to matter more because, like, pitchers would pitch complete games all the time.
Right.
So, like, if you're a good pitcher, you're going to get 20 wins.
Right.
But now, with the bullpens, it's like they're pitching 6 innings, and then it's off out of your hands. So,
well, yeah, or if you're, like, Tampa Bay, pitch 2 innings, then you put in your bulk guy. Whatever the hell that is.
I think that's kind of cool,
Yarbrough,
man.
Got 16 wins last year.
Did he really?
Yeah, look it up.
That's crazy. I think it's cool, though, all this, like, evolution of the game, though. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I like it. It's evolutionizing fantasy, too, because closers are becoming less and less valuable. Maybe I'll get some high-end middle relief guys.
Exactly.
Well, I'm evolving too. That's why I unloaded all my closers. I'm like, you know, I'm done chasing saves. It's
one category.
It's annoying. I'd rather get like two or three really good relief pitchers.
Exactly.
And maybe one of them will luck into some saves, and or they don't. It's whatever. It's not a big deal. So.
Yeah. No. It's cool. And then
it's liberating. Yeah. So.
I almost feel like we should go to quality starts at some point, but instead of wins. But then that really waters down pitching.
Yeah, I mean the way you want to chase.
It's fine. Yeah, it is what it is. I guess I'm fine with it.
You want to chase the wins, or what they do in other leagues is they'll penalize you for losses.
I don't like that, but I guess it balances it out a little.
It kind of balances it out. So if you're gonna chase wins all the time, then be careful because you're gonna get all these L's too.
Right. If you're gonna stream shitty pitchers.
Right. So that's a nice little checks and balance there.
I actually do like that.
But
like Pfister's in a league with his brother where they do wins and quality starts, and then they do.
That's redundant.
Yeah. I feel like one or the other. And then they do OPS, which I don't really like because then it just favors power hitters.
Yeah, no, I like OBP.
Yeah, I think OBP is good. I think the hitting categories are good.
Yeah, I like our hitting categories.
Because you can't really – yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some flukiness to it. It's head-to-head anyway.
Yeah.
So
– you're just going to manage week to week. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
Yandy, 1-for-2. He's on bases at 500.
Wow. Now I'm getting back. I'm throwing on MLB TV right now.
All
right.
You know what? That's what I'm going to do the same. So I'll let you be. Good chat. I can't wait to play this back.
Hell yeah, man. I sent you the login info, right?
You did. Yes.
So you should be able to log in on this app with that info. Try it out.
Okay. Will do. I'll throw it. Later.
All right. Peace, man.